What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on
drugs. Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Would Save the World. Today, we're going to be talking about some heavy, heavy shit. So as you probably have heard, there have been some ICE raids going on. You know, the topic of immigration is I feel like I can't even believe this is modern times. I feel like a lot of people feel like this is incredibly regressive. But, you know, we're also going to talk about a little bit about the general strike that took place this past Friday, February 17th. I went to the action in Washington Square Park, and I am here today with two people who are going to talk a bunch about all this shit, all this fucking shit that's going on right now. I'm here with Lila, who is an immigration lawyer, and I'm here with Abby, who's an activist. So why don't you each introduce yourselves a little bit?
I'm Lila Slivar. I am an immigration lawyer for the last 16 years. I represent a lot of undocumented people, and I'm finding that practicing law under our current president is a lot different than the last 8 years.
So, Abby, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Abby, and I've been a member of the activist community for a little bit already, or a while. And I'm an organizer with NYC Shut It Down and Hoods for Justice. And immigration is actually one of my main front lines because it really involves me.
What? How is that?
Oh, I have a lot of family members who are undocumented.
So, where's your family from?
Mexico.
Mexico. Okay, so that's like one of the major places that I feel like the Trump administration is targeting.
That's where they want to build the wall.
That's where they want to build the fucking wall. And there was a time when I'm still thinking about this. Like, should I move closer to the border and just block them from building this wall? That's the thing that I've been thinking about. So we're gonna get a lot into this. But first, I want to play something just to start off the topic of immigration altogether, just to talk about this nation and the concept of us even calling other people illegal and how ridiculous that is, especially because this is stolen land. That's one of the chants that myself and a couple of other people were chanting at the general strike that some people got down with, and other people were like, what? And we were chanting, no ban on stolen land, no ban on stolen land. And this is an interview with an indigenous person from the general strike. Let me play that for you. So I just want to ask you, like, so what made you come out today?
So what made me come out today is the national strike day where you don't buy, don't do anything that even results and contributes to this oil dynamo of fucking capitalism. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you were starting a lot of the chants that are about how this was indigenous land and was taken from indigenous. Are you indigenous?
I am indigenous.
And, I want to hear a little bit about your feelings about that if you want to tell me.
Okay, so I, being an indigenous person, directly attribute all the atrocities of extreme ignorance and bigotry and just matter, manifest destiny, Judeo-Christian oriented bullshit of going back to the direct and utter gloss over of indigenous peoples of not only North America, but of the world entirely.
I agree with you, even though, you know, I'm not indigenous, or I might be somewhere, but I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I've wondered before if this worked entirely cursed as whatever America is because it's stolen land.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We are fucking cursed. So that's why when we're here and we see all these quote unquote American flags, I'm actually genuinely not only disgusted but offended that they literally came in, stole the land, said it was their own, said they'd created it, created this bullshit flag that literally represents, and my own native people went and fought for that flag just so they can be considered citizens, not until the very old year of 1923. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck? Do you have anything else you want to add?
I would just like to say no ban on stolen land, and if you really think about it, anywhere you go within this country, you are an unwelcome guest, you are there without permission, and you are asserting every single privilege that you have by going anywhere you are without acknowledging the indigenous peoples that were once there.
Do you think that if people start to acknowledge the indigenous people, which some people are not enough with a, you know, DAPL, do you think that people, that things will get better, or do you think we're just kind of fucked at this point?
We're fucked either way, but honestly, being able to acknowledge where you went wrong with indigenous people is where it stems from, really. And then it's just, you can say the same thing for all my black relatives, all my Latinx relatives, all my relatives of people of color who are constantly oppressed because they're glossed over by white supremacy.
Yo, fuck white supremacy.
Fuck white supremacy.
All right, so that was one of my favorite interviews I got of the general strike. I felt like that was a perspective that a lot of people there would not have, because a lot of people there just were carrying around signs that are like, we're all immigrants, which is just not the case, because some people are indigenous and some people were friggin' captured from their land and brought here. So it's pretty ridiculous. So I think I want to talk a little bit about colonization right now. Abby, I know that you're super skilled. So we want to talk a little bit about what colonization is and like how that is very different from immigration.
Okay. So first off, I just want to say that most people who do migrate here and the people who are basically crossing over are indigenous people or of indigenous background.
For real.
So majority are mestizos or are of indigenous communities. I have a lot of people who I know who are from like Oaxaca and like Guerrero, which are like the main countries with the biggest indigenous populations in Mexico. And Central America has a lot of background still focused on their indigenous communities. So when we basically put these borders out, we're basically separating indigenous people. A lot of people say that indigenous people were very territorial back then. The truth is we actually migrated a lot. And for people to say that now we should impose a colonial border because these borders did not come till like 1492 when colonies began to exist. And like, you know, the Europeans began to divide all this land. It's basically saying, and it keeps, I guess, pushing a white, basically, ideology. And it keeps pushing a system that was based on white supremacy. So basically, it's a settlement, and it's basically uninvited because it wasn't supposed to be here. And it's not allowed here because it basically imposed oppression onto both black and brown people. Because as you mentioned, black people also came here due to human trafficking in a way over slavery. So when we talk about immigration and we talk about who is an immigrant, you can't really count the people crossing the border because they are indigenous background. You can't count Native Americans and you can't count African Americans either. And therefore, if you are a white person, you really don't have a say on who comes to this country.
Because
honestly, white people benefited from illegal immigration. If we look at it, white people benefited from illegal immigration. They came here illegally.
What do you think the difference, though, between immigration and colonialism is, though? Do you think there's a difference?
The difference between immigration and colonialism. Which way are we talking about immigration? Like migrating?
Yeah, I just feel like colonization is like what's happening in Israel right now, mm-hmm. where it's like a group of people come to a land and just friggin' take it over and be like, this is ours now. And then there's like immigration where it's like, I want to be in this
now
place.
I get two differences. Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? And I guess I just feel like there's like a huge difference between that. And the reason why I'm making that distinction is just because I want to make it very difficult for any of these like weird white nationalist alt-right people to twist this in a certain way. Because I mean, I know that they're going to anyway because they think they're like really skilled at gaslighting. But I feel like there's this thing where they could look at that and be like, well, you know, yeah, they might be indigenous, but like white people built this and they're immigrating here. So how can you be anti-colonization and also be, you know what I mean, pro-immigrant? You know, they'd be like, I just like was thinking about that and like thought that somebody could twist that and make it like fucked up.
Well, there is this saying by Emiliano Zapata, who's actually a very great hero of the Mexican people and indigenous people, where it's like the land belongs to those who work it.
Which is not the white people. That's not yeah. a real thing. When they say that, that's a whole other thing.
So when we talk about who works this land and who basically puts the fruits and the vegetables on your table and who babysits your children and who works the janitor jobs and the housekeeping and the dishwashers. And even though they're not working the land, they're working basically the main thing that keeps this whole country running. If you want to put it that way, then yes, immigrants do run this country.
Yeah, I mean, you see what happened out in, I forget what state it was, but, like, the fields were, like, abandoned.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's so ridiculous. People are like, they took our jobs. I'm like, okay, well, did you want to be a doorman?
Exactly.
Did you want to deliver groceries for $4 an hour? Have you ever applied for a job like that?
And that's what capitalism is, to be honest, because if you don't have the workers, which people are like, we're going to throw the workers back over the border. I mean, how is your economy going to survive in reality?
Yeah, what's going to happen to your bouginess? What's going to happen to your fucking, like, palm oil butter? I mean, that's destroying other countries. So let's talk about NAFTA a little bit.
Okay. NAFTA is a North American. Hold on. I'm
North America. Do you know
free trade agreement? Yeah,
free trade agreement.
Free trade agreement, and it actually began in January 1st, 1994, which is also when the Zapatista movement actually first went public in order to declare war on the Mexican government for actually agreeing to NAFTA. So if I can actually read something really fast.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So basically, what the agreement agreed to is that NAFTA, the U.S. would win in resources and produce and stuff like, you know, fruits and vegetables and everything we transfer over here. And Mexico would win in employment, as in we would get jobs and all these monopoly and commercial establishments would come into Mexico and Mexico would have more employment for people. However, according to a New York Times article, it is said that Mexico actually lost during this agreement because, as it quotes here, as heavily subsided U.S. corn and other staple poured into Mexico, producers' prices dropped and small farmers found themselves unable to make a living. Some 2 million have been forced to leave their farms since NAFTA. At the same time, consumer food prices rose, notably the cost of the omnipresent tortilla. As a result, 20 million Mexicans live in food poverty. 25% of the population does not have access to basic food, and one-fifth of Mexican children suffer from malnutrition. Transnational industrial corridors in rural areas have contaminated rivers and sickened the population, and typically women bear the heaviest impact. Not all of Mexico's problem can be laid at NAFTA's doorstep, but many have a direct causal link. The agreement drastically restructured Mexico's economy and closed off others' development path by prohibiting protective tariffs, support for strategic sectors, and financial control. So, in Mexico losing, we basically were forced to migrate here because there is basically no options in Mexico to actually make a living.
It's even worse. In NAFTA, the law itself provided for free trade of professional workers. Anybody with a degree in Mexico was allowed to apply for a work visa in the United States. And with NAFTA, there is no limit on the number of times you can renew this work visa. There's no limit on the number of visas that are available. There are work visas that are available for people from other countries, but when it comes to Canada and Mexico, the NAFTA visa is a very easy way that the U.S. actually has a monopoly on brain drain. If there is a person in Mexico who is very skilled, has employment here in the United States, the U.S. can pull those highly skilled workers, those very educated people from Mexico so that they're not there in Mexico, that they're here instead.
And then that's also like super classist.
Yes.
Like, does that, okay, so like who, I don't know anything about like education systems in Mexico, but that sounds like the kind of thing where only people who have a certain amount of funds to be able to go to college can get here.
Yes.
Well, okay, so, sorry.
No, it's okay.
The thing in Mexico is the economy is not just really bad. As you said, the education is actually terrible in Mexico. There is something that Subcomandante Merco said. He's like the Zapatista leader. He was the Zapatista leader because now he changed his name. But and he spoke about how there is, because I went to actually Chiapas in 2015, I went. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Chiapas. Was it 2015? No, I'm sorry. My bad, it was 2011. I'm like over here mixing my ears. But I went to Chiapas, and I remember that it was actually one of the most impactful, like, trip I've ever had, because I actually road tripped through Mexico at that time. But, I'm sorry. But they, what you see in Chiapas, which is basically the main the main state that has the most indigenous population. It's also the main place where people get their resources from. Coffee comes from there. A lot of different produce comes from there. And a lot of, like, mining also comes from there. And the poverty there is actually very strict. Like, you can actually, like, see it in the main city, which is San Cristobal de las Casas. And you just see a lot of, like, indigenous people selling a lot of their stuff, and a lot of people who are actually walk for miles and they're extremely hungry, but they have to make their money. So eventually I actually read a piece by Marcos who talked about the poverty in Chiapas, and he spoke about there is three roads in Chiapas, and these three roads are the only roads in Chiapas that there are. However, this is where all of, like, basically all of Chiapas is drained from these three roads. And you would believe that a place with only three roads would have, like, would be feeding an entire world, and would be feeding, like, the United States, would be feeding China, would be feeding the rest of Mexico.
Because they have so much land?
No, they have a lot of resources.
There's a lot of resources.
However, when you look at Chiapas itself, while it is being, like, it's giving all these things to, like, all their countries, and it's giving all these things to the rest of Mexico, well, I mean, the developed Mexico, while it's giving all of this, Chiapas has turned very poor, and it has basically, in his very poetic way, he wrote, it has left the remains of capitalism. It has left prostitution. It has left poverty. It has left hunger. And, like, a lot of people, when they talk about, you know, the border, and they talk about, like, you know, Mexicans stealing jobs, and you don't really think about where these people are coming from, and you don't think about the fact that Mexicans actually, or people from Chiapas actually, you don't think about where your things are coming from. We talk about, like, you know, we get the benefit from these places, but we don't see the effect we're doing to these mm-hmm. places and the poverty in these places, which I go strongly on this because, like, we ignore
you
a lot
should.
Of this.
You should, though. I mean, it sounds to me like, and this is what I always think about when I hear about capitalism I live in capitalism, but it's so, like, individualistic, and it feels like sort of like sociopathy. Like, to me, like, extreme individualism is sociopathy.
Keep going. So the people who basically, you know, here, you know, talking about immigration policies and having stronger immigration policies are benefiting from capitalism, while the people who are basically trying to make a better life here, or have an American dream, as people would say, are actually people escaping capitalism. So there's a benefit, and then there's the escaping. And therefore, we're both on two different ends here.
Well, you either get to live on the top part of capitalism, or you live on the bottom.
Exactly.
And in America, if you're in America, you have, like, what I would guess would call American privilege, is that even if you're broke and homeless, which nobody should have to be that way, I don't like that, but even then it's a little easier to get food than it sounds like in some of these places. I do want to touch on one thing. Do you think that prostitution is a result of capitalism?
No, but not okay. What Comandante Marcos meant by prostitution isn't what most people would talk about here, because
just,
here,
just curious, here, as a sex worker,
here's more of a freedom of speech. You can decide to do it over there. It's more like stolen woman, basically not being allowed.
So it's trafficking.
Yes, it's okay. Human trafficking.
Okay, that's very different.
But he used the word prostitution.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine. I was just curious if that would. I just wanted to elaborate on that, because if that's what somebody thinks, that prostitution is a direct result of capitalism, I want to know. I was just curious about that. That's very...
It's more like human trafficking.
Yes,
I've actually watched this happen. Basically, on the road in Mexico, they will sell women while they're
disgusting.
Basically on the road. Like, say you're driving a car and there's a car driving beside you, and they'll be like, hey, do you want somebody right now? And, like, they'll stop in the road and hand over somebody.
Holy shit. So that's freaking bizarre.
That's kind of what he meant.
I mean, it's not bizarre. It's all too common. It's pretty scary. So let's play one more interview from here. So this is we're going to switch gears for a minute here. So when I was at the protest, you can check out on my Twitter feed. That's a Tuk Edalo, spelled, it's like the number 2 with a K, EDALOW. You can find this picture of this woman who was holding a sign that said, like, Trump, is commie scum something. I forget exactly what her sign said. But of course I had to interview her, because if you've listened to my show before, or if you've talked to me at all, you know that I identify as a anarcho-communist. So I was like, how the hell is Trump anything like a communist? So I want to play her interview here, if I can find it. Holy shit, here we are. So here we go.
I think that Donald Trump...
it's really loud. Just one second. So I'm going to play this, and you can check out the picture on my Twitter feed or What Would Save the World on Facebook.com. I'm going to post a lot of things and a lot of pictures from the general strike. I'm going to post any interviews that I don't get to play here on there. All right, so here we go.
I think that Donald Trump is a communist?
Donald Trump is more than a communist.
What do you think communism is?
Well, I believe communism is, in a sense, a good way. Because everybody share. So that's a good question. You got me there.
Yeah, because I was so curious about your sign, because I agree that Trump is a fascist and a dictator, but I know that communism is actually about equality. I think he's a fascist.
I would say yes. Donald Trump is more of a fascist. Then again, it's hard to describe it in one single word. He's a demagogue. He's also, what's that word? Narcissistic. Narcissistic. A narcissist.
Narcissistic.
He doesn't like anybody else but himself. Right?
Yeah, and I think that's actually the opposite of communism. I think that whenever there's a dictator, whatever they're going to call it is not communism.
No, I agree with you. Absolutely. Well, the sign you're looking at, you remember when we had the Women March? A lot of signs were left behind. I took this one, and I've been carrying it with me. My sign is this over here, but it also a lot of input from the public. Not everything there is my input. So I carry it around because it reflects the emotions out there, how people feel.
I love that. So yeah, because I actually identify as a kind of communist, but I'm definitely like super, I think that communism is about sharing and equality, personally.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
But I love that you carry a sign that you found.
Commie. So it's not saying something is wrong with communism. There's a word evil next to it.
Very
right? Interesting. If I'm going to interpret that.
So I have a radio show called What Would Save the World.
Turn this up.
You have my permission.
So I think that that was like one of the most interesting interviews I have ever given. And both Abby and Lila are like, what is happening there? So the thing that I liked.
What is this?
So let's just talk for a minute about that. So what I liked about her was that she was like, oh, I just found it, and I wanted to carry other people's ideas. And and I thought that was very, like, I had very mixed feelings on that. It was a little bittersweet. I was like, okay. But so you can check out her picture. She was actually kind of badass. She had another sign that was really cool. But you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, and Radio Free Brooklyn is a community-run freeform radio. I can say fuck on the radio. I can say whatever the hell I want. I can say punch Nazis, every nation, every race, punch a Nazi in the face. Oh, and by the way, I should talk about that. On the general strike, some lady came up to me, as me and like the four other anarchists that were there were chanting that, and she goes, do you really think that is like helpful for the movement? I was like, well, I don't know what movement you're part of, but I think that like self-defense is not violence, and I think that anybody who's a Nazi is such a great threat to larger society that punching a Nazi is just self-defense. Punching an individual Nazi is self-defense for the masses. And she just like, okay, thank you for engaging. But if you like that I can say punch Nazis in the face on the radio, then you should, and you have money. If you don't have money, that's fine, but you can donate to Radio Free Brooklyn at patreon.com/Radio Free Brooklyn. We have a lot of really crazy shows on here. I am probably one of the most anarcho shows on here, but we got some other awesome shows on here. Let's not get into that. Let's move on, but there's a lot of great shows. Radio Free Brooklyn,
you know,
we're awesome.
That there's an element within amongst liberals that they find that we should seek for tolerance and patience and
tolerance
understanding
of Nazis. Are you
with
fucking
Nazis?
Kidding?
What is their thinking? Like, I just don't understand these liberals at all.
Oh, I don't know. Now you're talking like an anarchist. You told me that you couldn't be an anarchist because you work within the system.
I do.
But you're talking like an anarchist to
yes.
me.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about. So we talked a little bit about the history. I mean, not really history, but we talked about the context of colonialism and colonization. And is colonialism and colonization the same thing? Or do I sound crazy when I say that?
Yeah, just different.
The different
words. No, no, I mean like
they're just different words. All right, yeah. Making sure, because that's one of those things where I'm like, do I sound stupid right now? I probably do to somebody. Okay, but okay. So we're talking about all that. We talked about indigenous people. Let's talk about what is happening right now in America with the ICE raid. So Lila, why don't you tell me as much about that as you want to tell
me. Oh my goodness, I could go on forever.
Okay, well let's go on for at least 20 minutes.
Okay, you got it. You know, when I was practicing law under George W. Bush, I would find that people were, when they get caught up by ICE, either they get arrested for something that's very minimal or they just otherwise are just in the wrong place, wrong time. They were placed in deportation proceedings. And with George W. Bush, I could have a mother of five U.S. citizen-born kids. We could have, like, great equity. She could be here in the United States for a long time, no criminal record, no nothing. There's zero way to stop the deportation from continuing because the attorneys who were charged with doing the prosecution were not granted discretion. Anybody that got picked up by ICE had to see a judge, and a judge had to order them either removed or give them relief from removal. When we had Obama as president for those 8 years, our prosecutors are called it's the Office of the Chief Counsel. It's part of ICE, actually. But the attorneys that show up in court, Obama gave them discretion. So if you were here in the United States for a long time, you had no criminal record, maybe you had children born in the United States, maybe you didn't, and you just didn't qualify for a green card. Like, there was just no way to get you out of deportation. Under George W. Bush, you would have to be deported. Under Obama, Obama gave these attorneys, the ICE attorneys in immigration proceedings, the discretion to just close the file, just stop the prosecution. So they're here and they're undocumented still. There's no mechanism to make them legal, but they would not have an order of deportation. Now that we're back under a Republican president, prosecutorial discretion is going to be removed. We are already seeing right now that immigrants are being treated in a vastly different manner under Trump than they were under the Obama administration. The priorities for deportation for Obama were people who had serious criminal offenses. Not if you had a DUI, not if you got into an argument with your girlfriend and you had just a simple simple domestic violence, no.
I mean, fuck domestic violence.
Fuck domestic violence.
But you shouldn't be kicked out of the country. Yeah, I hear that.
Well, it's not just domestic violence with a weapon. Domestic violence with serious injuries. Those are not simple domestic violence. Domestic violence is when you're living in a very crowded area of New York and it's hot one evening and you and your spouse are arguing and the neighbors happen to call the police. Somebody's getting charged even though nobody got hit. Even though there was no reason to call the police, maybe not. But for people who have, you know, like lower level offenses that are not repeat offenders, Obama was giving them the opportunity to continue to stay in the United States and not receive an order of deportation. Now, with Trump's executive orders, we have the travel ban, but also, his new Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, he is making it so that anybody who has ever been arrested for anything, even though they've never been convicted, any arrest record whatsoever, would make that person a priority for deportation. This is going to entrap 750,000 more undocumented immigrants than under the Obama administration. Suddenly, if you get pulled over and get charged with something, anything, driving without a license, it's a misdemeanor. If you get charged with any criminal offense, suddenly you are, in fact, a priority for deportation. And this prosecutorial discretion is going to be repealed. They're just looking to get as many people ordered deported and shipped outside of the country as possible. I don't think any president prior to Obama had actually deported as many people as Obama did. Obama deported a lot of people. But with this prosecutorial discretion, we were assured that the people who ended up getting ordered deported were the people with, you know, serious trafficking crimes, serious violent offenses. These were not, you know, like everyday people who just happened to get, you know, caught up in the legal system. These were people with very serious felonies, and they faced deportation. So, I mean, I can go on about the raids if you want.
Yeah, I want to talk about the raids.
Okay, the raids are happening everywhere.
In New York, right? Even though de Blasio was reporting that he wasn't going to let it happen here, but it is anyway.
He can't That's affect what, it.
See, this is the thing. My mother, who... You know, I love my mother. My mother is, you know, as liberal as they get for people over a certain age. You know, my mother, you know, voted for Bernie. You know, she voted for Bernie.
I voted for Bernie.
She's a Jew. She's a real Jew, as I like to call it. A little later on at the end of the show, we're going to play an argument I got into with a Jew for Trump, because if you've ever talked to me, I'm a Tikkun Olam Jew, which means to repair the world. So I get really angry when Jews get intolerant and get really, like colonial, because I'm like, how do you not read your own scriptures? So I get really fucking irritated. But so she was like, oh, well, you know, de Blasio's not going to let that happen. It's not happening. They're only taking people who've committed crimes. And when I asked her, I said, what's a crime, Mom? What's a crime? Like, you know, I mean, I think if somebody, like, killed, like, a bunch of people, like, I don't care if they're an immigrant or who they are, it's like maybe they need to get taken away from other people for just, like, a little bit. You know, I don't agree with the prison system. I don't believe it. I don't agree with any of that shit. But I do think there needs to be, like, you know, some sort of rehabilitation. So that's a different thing. But I was like, what kind of crimes, Mom? And she's like, oh, well, the body. I'm like, well, there's people in Queens. There's checkpoints and shit. So you tell me the truth about this. I hope my mother listens to this episode.
There are checkpoints in Queens. There are reports of ICE officers that were running up and down the 7 train looking for people who are brown and asking them for their papers. Checkpoints are happening. We don't know exactly where they are until somebody actually gets caught up in them and they get reported. But Queens, definitely. In Woodside, in Sunnyside, lots of places are having checkpoints and raids. There are raids that are occurring right now, and even in upstate New York. So while de Blasio may have very good intentions, he's actually not doing nearly as much as he could be doing as the mayor.
Oh, fucking de Blasio.
I'll tell you, the governor of Oregon, I forgot her name. Anyway, but she was saying that their state, the state of Oregon, has a duty and an obligation to all of the residents of the state, irrespective of their immigration status. And she said in a news conference that lasted 9 minutes, she said that she was not going to devote any state resources to ICE or to the federal government or to the Department of Homeland Security in relation to either of these executive orders or anything to do with the Department of Homeland Security. She was not going to, and this is what's happening in New York City. Let's say I'm walking on the street. I get stopped by a police officer. I get charged with something. I get taken into jail. While I'm in jail, let's say that I'm even released from jail. As I'm reporting to my probation officer, my probation officer one day will call me in and have me sit down with somebody from ICE. That's not a state probation officer's duty to call ICE on any one of the people that are reporting to him on his probation, on his watch. And yet that's how a lot of people are getting picked up. I'm hearing reports that ICE officers are going to the jails and interviewing everybody within the jail and asking them, are you a citizen? Are you not a citizen?
So people who aren't even like getting people in jails ready.
People in jails, absolutely. Or people who are reporting on orders of supervision. If they're reporting for probation, for example, the probation officer calls the person in and they sit down and they have a conversation with an ICE officer. Why we are letting this happen within the city of New York, it's mind-boggling.
So de Blasio can put a stop to that.
He can put a stop to that, absolutely.
So, okay, so as an activist, my first thought is, where is de Blasio's office? Let's all go there.
Let's go.
And be like, you have to put a stop to this.
Wait, I mean, he could put out a statement similar to the one that the Oregon governor did. That would be amazing if he could absolutely devote zero resources in entertaining any of ICE officers' requests, not giving them the information that they're looking for. I understand that we're supposed to be a sanctuary city, but I'm not exactly sure how de Blasio is interpreting that, because I really think that he could be doing more.
I mean, that's what Trump is now saying. Sanctuary cities are hotbeds for violence or crime. Oh, fuck him.
I'm not sure about this. Actually, I'm going to ask you. But I believe that New York did have a safety before on ICE raids, right? Because I believe that California and other states were getting raided, but New York was not getting raided due to certain.
So is what they're doing here even legal?
I'm not extremely sure this happened in the past.
Raids are happening right now in, I'm going to say Columbia County, upstate. They're definitely happening. I know that we're not having so much raids here.
Aren't we having them in like Queens and Staten Island?
What we're having is ICE officers are claiming to have warrants for the arrest of people who might have lived in some location 20 years earlier. And if a person has moved in the last 20 years, the person who ends up living in that same address ends up getting caught up, and they're calling it a raid. But I don't know of any raids that are occurring in New York City. It's the checkpoints.
So are they allowed to have these checkpoints?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
It's technically legal as long as they're checking everybody. But
they're not going to. And you were telling me something about this before.
Yes. My family has been undocumented. I've had several members in my family who came to the United States and they overstayed their visas. They were here without permission. They were working without permission back when it was a little bit easier to do so. We used to be able to get driver's licenses for people who were undocumented. You didn't have to show your immigration status when you applied for a driver's license, for example. Getting a social security number was a lot easier too back in the day. Back before, I'm going to say before 1997, you used to just be able to apply and you'll get one without having to show lawful status to work in the United States. It's different now. So my family is full of previously undocumented immigrants, and I'm not going to be the one who stopped at an immigration checkpoint. They're going to look at me, they're going to nod and maybe smile and wave as I walk past, whereas somebody who probably has a more indigenous look, somebody who they stereotypically think is not from the United States, that person is going to be stopped and questioned. I mean, I have a very strong American accent, but you know, I wouldn't be able to prove to you that I'm a citizen of the United States based on the contents of what's in my purse today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I maybe I would. I have a passport.
That would do it.
But that's because that's my only ID because I lost everything else.
Oh.
But that's, so it's obvious racial profiling.
Absolutely.
Obvious racial profiling. And that's just something I'm just going to say that's unrelated to this. If you think racial profiling isn't a thing, like, please get over yourself. Like, please read a book. Like, read almost, like, any book that's not by some some old white man. Like, I mean, not any book, but read a fucking book. Read the New Jim Crow Laws, or it's actually called Just the New Jim Crow, not New Jim Crow Laws, just by Michelle Alexander. Just read some fucking books. Like, God, I'm sorry, I feel like I sound like such a pothead when I talk about this. I'm like, God, like, do you read? Like, that was my line for a long time when I would, like, talk to Trump supporters before, like, the election. I was like, do you read? No, really, motherfucker, do you read?
I don't think I could have a conversation with a Trump supporter without absolutely sounding like a raving lunatic.
You can say that there's indigenous people on the border. There's literally a tribe living right where the fence is.
I don't know what they'd say back to that. I've never actually used that one. Usually I become like a raving lunatic. I'm like, and then you're just a white man. Yeah. I got called a racist at the general strike because I was arguing, which you'll hear, actually the poster for this episode that I've been sharing online. It's like me arguing with this Jew for Trump. Uh-huh. And what ended up happening is this little Proud Boy looking motherfucker. Like, Steph, if you don't know what the Proud Boys are, Proud Boys, I hate you so much. You are, like, I hate you so much. Like, you are literally the worst thing. Okay, let me explain what they are before. The Proud Boys are like the little fucking alt-right gang that's run by Gavin McGinnis, who's like one of the co-founders of Vice. And,
Is he really?
Yeah, he was. So that's why, like, when you look at Vice and they talk about anything cool or alternative, like, for a long time, it was, like, very exploitive. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Slab City. Slab City is this squat out in California, and they, like, covered them and made them all look like fucking stupid, crazy hippies. It must be real. There's a lot of meth out there and whatever. But, like, why would you film meth heads and, like, make fun of them? You know what I mean? Or, like, make it, like, I don't know. Maybe they don't feel like it was done that way. But I don't know. I just feel like there's definitely, like, an exploitation aspect to Vice as a publication.
They have certain backgrounds in insulting people they shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I feel about them. And Gavin McGinnis has his weird little Western chauvinist, alt-right Nazi gang, and he hangs out with all of them at some bar in Greenpoint. And I just feel like they're just like the result of like 4chan culture. Like all of this, like honestly, like to me, like some of these like older homophobic like Christian conservatives, like yeah, they're awful. The Westboro Baptist Church is awful. But like for real, I can tolerate a lot of those people way more than I can tolerate some of these like new bizarre like internet sociopaths. Do you know what I'm talking about?
They don't look like they get out a lot.
They don't get out a lot, but they're like these weird little, like, if you know what 4chan is, which is, like, literally where they, like, worship at the altar of sociopathy, at least these Christian people think that they're compassionate. Do you know what I mean? At least these Christian extremists think that they're compassionate. Do you know what I'm talking about? I could rant about this all day long, and then I just start ranting about, like, cuckold. Because, like, this all plays... No, it really does. It really all plays into this bizarre psychology about sex where I feel like in our society we don't allow men to be bisexual. Do you know what I'm talking about? I feel like we allow women to be bisexual in American culture only because it's hot to men. So men are... Everything is about male sexuality until they want to fuck each other. And then it becomes this thing where they become, like, women who they don't want to be like. And then it be... Oh, man. This is cycles. This is cycles. Am I making any sense about this, though? Or do I just sound like some raving loony who works at a strip club?
No. You're totally making sense. But and that's the thing. You really can tell what men feel about women when they don't want to be feminized.
Yeah, so it's fucked up. So it's like
they hate women so much that feminization of women of men would be like the worst thing possible.
Yeah, like literally the only oppression white men face in this country is oppression that they put upon each other.
Yes.
Where they can't be bisexual. Yes. Where they can't fuck other men. It's like, oh, well, you decided that. We had nothing to do with that. Nobody else was fucking with that. I don't know. The fucking Proud Boys. Fuck you, Proud Boys. I hate you all so fucking much. I can't believe that you brought your fucking weird Nazi shit to New York City. Yo, Gavin McInnes, your arguments are not even good, okay? Your arguments are not even good. Like, they're not even... Anyway, let's stop ranting about the Proud Boys, and let's get back to my point about Trump supporters. So I was arguing with a guy who wouldn't acknowledge he was a Trump supporter in Washington Square Park, and... He looked like a Proud Boy. He looked like very well-dressed, like white guy who every time he just kept being like, you're attacking me with ad hominems. You're attacking me with ad hominems. And because I called him a white man. And I was like, you don't really like seem to understand what it's like to not be at the top of the food chain here. And he was like, well, that's just an ad hominem, which is like supposed to be like a logical or like a fallacy in an argument where you're like giving someone a reaction that has nothing to do with their argument. But it totally does because like, if you're a white dude, it affects your conditioning. I don't know. We're getting off topic here, and I'm just ranting about shit that makes me angry. Libertarian little boys make me angry.
But I think that triggers them, is what it is. Like, when you try to show them that they're living from a place of privilege and their whole viewpoint is from a place of privilege, that's triggering, and that suddenly brings their defense walls up, and then they just can't communicate in a way that's going to be honest.
Oh, their poor little white boy tears.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's a difference between, you know, wanting to tell them, hey, you're a jerk and an asshole, and, you know, trying to have an honest conversation with them, because when you tell them that they're privileged and then they're triggered, they're not going to be able to respond in a way that's authentic. Like, you really have to almost play with their...
But don't we always have to play their little game, though?
I think that's actually with a lot of people, not just Trump supporters, also with, like, liberals, and, like, a lot of people just can't push their privilege aside to see another point of view. So they're like, well, you know, in my point of view, I think this is good for this and this. Like, you don't have the right to say what is good for anything because you don't know what is the problem. You're not feeling the problem. You're not in the problem. It is not your problem. So therefore, you saying, hey, I can fix this. You cannot fix something you don't know how to fix.
It's like somebody saying, hey, what does the world need saving from?
Oh my God, that's a ridiculous
story. Because your answer is obviously going to be like, well, I don't need saving from anything because I'm living perfectly fine.
I mean, like
the question isn't for you.
I mean, the thing that's so fun, I mean, but I just don't understand why that's the whole problem with cap. I mean, I'm going to say, I'd be arrogant. I know that part of the problem is capitalism. And I'm totally rewarded by capitalism. I take off my clothes and make tons of money literally just from my body. Like, I have the easiest job in the fucking world. I mean, I'm sure, like, it's gonna, you know, I'm gonna hit 30 and, like, my emotions are gonna go fucking crazy. Aww. I'm gonna be like, no. Yeah. But what, I guess the point I'm making is just, like, I can acknowledge that this society serves me, and I still think it's fucked up. So, like, it's very, like, I understand it takes people time to get there. So, like, people listening, like, yo, like, if you're privileged, you're gonna stop being such a privileged asshole once you realize that, and stop only thinking about yourself and how this system serves you. Like, I was having a conversation with this guy I know. He lives in, like, his parents live in this, like, giant fucking penthouse by Union Square. And I'm talking about all this stuff, and he's like, oh, well, you know, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, there's only, like, this percentage of Black people in America. I'm like, okay, then why are the jails mostly Black? Like, if that's true, like, or people of color, like, if that's true, if it's such a small percentage, then why are prisons dominated in that way? Like, and he was like, oh, well, that's a good point, but, like, I don't know, like, it's just not my problem. It's just not my problem. And I'm like,
that's the problem.
And that's the problem. That's the thing. Like, look, nobody's saying, like, you have to, like, fucking, like, be like, I'm this terrible person, but you are that terrible person if you can't see that it shouldn't just be all about you all the time. Like, if you can't see that, then yes, you are that terrible person. Oh, boo-hoo, I'm so sorry. Like, it's like, God, like, get over yourself.
I think a lot of sense also comes into people who live in the city because, and the suburbs, actually. They don't really see that, even this actually goes out for any people who actually consider themselves Latino as well, or any person who considers themselves actually living in the city. We all have privilege. I, as a person who's, like, an urban Native American, has privilege. And I say Native American even though I'm Mexican, because Native American is a race and Mexico is a nationality, which people tend to get mixed up. They're like, well, how are Mexicans indigenous? And I'm just like, well.
Because of fucking white people borders.
But yeah, thank you. But I think a lot of really, it's just in order to basically dismantle a lot of things and fix things such as, I guess, you know, the issues such as Black Lives Matter and, you know, immigration and all of that. It's just really decolonize your ideas. Decolonize, because if you're not decolonizing your idea, you're not really moving forward. You can keep, you know, reforming the system over and over. And we all know that the 13th Amendment got reformed into prisons and, you know, well, not the slavery got reformed into prisons, yes, by the 13th Amendment.
And again, that's where you should read the new Jim Crow. We should have a whole other episode just on the 13th Amendment.
So if we continue to reform capitalism, it's still going to be capitalism. There's always going to be a person on the top of the food chain and someone at the bottom of the food chain.
And your anarcho-capitalism is bullshit.
I never understood that.
I have a lot of anarcho-capitalists listening to the show who are just like, believe that one day I'm going to meet their, like, anarcho-capitalist messiah who's going to convince me that anarcho-capitalism makes sense. And I'm like, never.
Capitalism is based on class. It's based on, like, dividing people. And to be honest, this whole world is anti-Black, to be honest, because it's not just the United States. It's literally every single country has learned it either through colonialism or because they've been conquered.
Just think about, like, how the word dark is used negatively.
Exactly.
Actually, I was singing this song by Les Mis last night. I think it was actually with you. It was like, red, the color of angry men. And somebody goes, black, the color of despair. And I was singing that. And I was like, that's such a weird line. Like, you were, like, right in front of me when I sang that.
I think so. And I was like, I just looked at you because you were just singing.
And you were like, what is she singing? Yeah, it was such a weird line, though, and I was thinking about it, and there's actually this great show. I wanted to have this guy on so badly, but I'm going to rep it on here. Frigid NYC is a theater festival that's going on right now in New York City. It's at the Horse Trade Theater Company, and there's a show called Black, and it's about a one-man show. It's a black man, but it's about everybody's reaction to the word black, or just like the experience of the word black related to race and related to everything else. That's like a really great show. If you go to horsetrade.info, you should find info on that show. I really want to go see that show. If you want to go with me, take me on a date there. You can email me. And if you want to be on the show also, if you take me on a date, you're going to be on the show, you disagree with me, whatever you want to do, email me at tooke@radiofreebrooklyn.com, or you could tweet at me, the number 2, like the symbol KEDALOW, and there's going to be updates from this show. There's going to be questions on there related to this show that you can chime in and tell me what you think of that. Again, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're kind of coming to an end here a little bit. So I want to know, do either of you have any last things you want to say? Abby and Lila, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I would like to actually say, there's actually, for anybody who wants to be a frontline warrior, actually on immigration, the Tohono O'odham people who actually live on the basically the border of Mexico and the United States are actually, I'm not sure if it's if they're yet ready, but they said they would fight for basically to bring the wall down and with bodies basically. So it's definitely a front line that it might be possible and people will be standing on it.
I'm so down.
So
So Viola, do you have anything you want to share?
You know what? There actually has been a raid on immigrants last Friday. 41 immigrants were picked up here in the city of New York, 38 of which were supposedly had prior criminal convictions. So raids are happening in the city, and checkpoints are happening. And if you know somebody who's undocumented, it's very important to reach out to these people and help them. Like, just help your neighbor. Make sure that, you know, the documents are in order, or try to, you know, do what it is that they need, because like these people are very scared of taking their children to school, of going to doctor's appointments. You could be an ally to the people who are most immediately around you.
For sure. And like I said, like, immigrants built this country. Don't buy into that myth that white people built this country. That's ridiculous. And especially, so this is a good segue here. If you're a Jew, remember who protected you. Remember who they were. Remember who was keeping you in attics. Remember people had it out for you. So I'm a very angry Jew right now. If you are a Jew and you do not see how this is similar to the Holocaust in any way, and you want to talk about Holocaust Remembrance Day, yo, go fuck yourself. And I hope you don't come. That is this very angry lady right here. All right. So thank you so much for being here. I'm going to play this debate I got into with this Jew for Trump in the park, and actually got interrupted by what I like to call a white boy libertarian.
Was this yesterday?
This was the general strike.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. Yeah, I was so mad I missed also, you should go to...
They were a Jew for Trump yesterday.
Yeah,
why.
No, I heard. You should go to People's Monday, shut it down. It happens every Monday. It's a march for another, you know, say their name, Black Lives Matter. Just look up People's Monday, shut it down. Here we go. It's a debate with a Jew for Trump.
Or you can film that out.
Okay, whatever.
What I want to know is, how is it okay and push people out of their homes in Israel?
Okay, first.
You can audio record, you can film that out.
Okay, whatever.
What I want to know is, how is it okay for us to get pushed out of our homes during the Holocaust, us to go and push people out of their homes in Israel?
Okay, first of all, we're not pushing anyone out of any homes in
that's
Israel.
That's exactly what happened.
As a matter of fact, that Trump even told Bibi not to build any settlements.
But how are you going to tell me that when Jews came over to Israel, people were pushed out of their homes? Were they not?
No, that's not true at all.
Is it not true? Can somebody?
It's not true. Yeah.
How
not
is it
true.
Not true? Can you give me?
But taking the two-state option off of the table.
No, he didn't. He told them that they can do whatever they want among themselves. He said, like, you guys talk among yourselves.
And so, are we talking about Trump right now?
He just said, yes.
I'm not talking about Trump at all. I'm talking to you about way before
Trump. Two-state or one state, he said whatever you want.
Hey, now you're only talking
about
Trump. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine, okay.
I'm talking about Trump. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, okay.
Look at me.
Okay.
Did we or did we not push Palestinians out of their homes?
No, we did not. No, we did
okay,
not.
Then you're full of shit.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's look it up.
So I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
If you are going to say that you are a Jew and you believe in Tikkun Olam and you believe in repairing the world and you are not going to say that what Israel has done in Palestine is fucked up in any way, shape, or form, and that's why you're voting for Trump, and how the
that's
hell...
That's not the only reason I'm voting for him.
Okay, but
way.
I want to finish this. So what is Semite mean? What is Semite?
Semite is, a Middle Eastern origin.
Yes, so Middle Eastern languages. So when I say anti-Semite, what does that mean?
Okay.
What does that mean?
The way that you're using anti-Semite is not the way that most people are using anti-Semite.
But what does Semite mean? What does anti-Semite mean? I want you to answer my question.
Okay. We're talking about terrorists.
You're not
and we're talking
my
about.
Question. What does anti-Semite mean?
Okay, we both agree what it
what
means.
What does anti-Semite mean?
But what it means today, now.
No, you're not answering my question.
What's being used now is anti-Jewish and anti-Israel.
No, it's not anti-Israel. Nobody, if you're anti-Israel, I am Jewish. I am a Jewish woman. You hear
okay,
me? I am of the religion.
I know a lot of Jewish women.
I am of the religion where we believe in Kabbalah, which is the meaning of the feminine and the masculine. So let me tell you something.
I know a lot of Kabbalists who don't agree with you at all. And I know a lot of Jewish people
well, whatever. And then I would say they're not really
talking
following
about most of the deformed Jews.
But I
want to
tell you,
and
if
most
you
of the Kabbalists don't agree with you,
and you are
so
a Jew,
a big difference
and you can't see
how
anti-Semite is against Muslims and Jew. When you say anti-Semite, if somebody, if you,
okay.
if
and
you
Trump
are
neither
pro,
against Muslims nor
how
Jews.
Do you feel about the Muslim ban?
First of all, it's not a Muslim ban. It's a ban on 7 countries of anyone. It's a ban of 7 countries, whether you are Christian, Jewish,
okay,
Muslim.
So don't you
it's
think
those countries?
Okay, so as a Jew,
Muslims are allowed to come here.
Do you think, yet again, you are being manipulated
okay.
by the Christian extremists who want us to look away and are therefore pointing the Muslim extremists? All who are very minimal people, very, very small people. Yes, you are. Those are the Christian extremists.
No.
That's what they are. The people
These
in office right
moderate
now.
Moderate Republicans.
You're so on crack.
Yeah.
Okay. The people who are in office right now are Christian extremists who want to take away abortion rights, who want to take away
it's
all
not
the
true
shit.
At all.
And yet again,
and
they,
don't you think that like babies and fetuses and babies have a right to live?
You don't think that
babies and fetuses have a right to live? You don't think babies and fetuses have a right to live?
I think that the woman has more of a right. I think the woman was here
listen,
first, and I think.
Listen, she doesn't have a right to take
and
away
I
a life.
And I think that if you're
she can give the baby up. If she doesn't want to, she can give the baby up. She can live the baby at the police station, at a fire station. She doesn't have to take the baby
I
home with her.
Oh yeah, trust the police with that, right? All right.
Yeah.
So what
you
I
don't have to trust the police. She can
so
live in the
I
hospital.
So what I
want to
ask you one more thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
So do you think that after the Holocaust, the Jews were assimilated into Christian, white Christian America, assimilated into such, and then now we are fucking so assimilated that we cannot remember what the fuck it was like to be an oppressed person?
Listen, every Jew who I know, and I know thousands, I've spoken to thousands of Jews, they all remember what it was like to be an oppressed person.
Hi, my name is Max. I'm a Jewish man who definitely has no culture because I was assimilated into
Okay, that's good.
So yeah. I'm from New York too. I'm a Brooklyn Jew. How do you feel about Israel?
And then I should add, just some guy walked in.
And they are stopping.
And you can't even really hear what he's saying. He's a young Jew and he's saying he doesn't like Israel. And I gotta point out, this Jew for Trump, every time a man walked in, he would look right at them and not look at me.
Group of people. Don't you think that's like pretty fucked up and just pretty much straight up racist?
This is a temporary ban because terrorists are coming into this country.
Not from one of those countries.
Yes, they are.
Hey,
all 7 of those countries.
Not from one.
From all 7
not
of those countries.
Not one from those countries.
That's
not
even the fucking point.
That's not even what the point was. I just wanted him to acknowledge that he's fucking a shitty Jew.
Produce a terrorist and attack the Jews in my front.
Being a shitty Jew. I hate Zionists. We voted for Trump on the basis of Zionism. Fucking like back
where
up.
Where is Somalia?
Okay, fine.
Okay. And then I was getting really irritated with the game. Just
okay,
another conversation.
No,
and just talk.
Yeah.
Was a Somali migrant.
All right. How about okay? That white.
Can we please have the woman talk?
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay. No. Okay.
Always hijacks my conversation.
Yeah.
All right. No. I used to do an act where I dressed up like Barbara Streisand. Jewish women loved it. Men called me anti-Semitic. All right, so I want to know how you don't see that Christian extremists are also terrorists. How do you not see little gay kids getting killed?
Blowing up because they're not bombing places. Not
yeah, there have been over 50 bomb threats on fucking synagogues since Trump's been elected.
I don't know. Timothy McVeigh was a pretty Christian extremist.
Yeah. Okay, neo-Nazis, first of all, Trump condemned all of them, okay?
Yes,
so.
But he's got Nazis working for him. Let's end this show. Thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World. Again, my name is Duke Edelo. You've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You can catch me here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. That I got a bunch of interviews from the general strike, other than that argument with the Jew for Trump and the two interviews I played. You can find them on facebook.com/whatwouldsavetheworld or at my Twitter, 2KEDALOW at Twitter. You should just listen to those. I have an interview with somebody from Britain talking about Brexit. I have a discussion between an older white feminist and an indigenous woman about oppression.